You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode we bring you behind the scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.
Hey, hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent. In the last few months, there's been a fair bit of talk about the changed market, but it's been a challenge over West for some time now, where agents have needed to put everything into getting deals together. My guest this week is one of my favourite people in the industry and also happens to be one of the country's top agents based in Fremantle. Of course, I'm talking about Stephanie Dobro from Capon Young. In this podcast, we unpack some of the tools that Stephanie uses to put deals together, how she keeps her energy up even if the chips are a little bit down, how to build trust, along with some tips to manage your time together with competing priorities. Enjoy the podcast. Okay, so welcome to the podcast, Stephanie Dobro.
Hello, Sam. Thank you for having me.
You're very, very welcome. So how are things in Perth right now, apart from daylight saving and the three-hour time difference between Sydney and
that does make it a little challenging, which in fact is probably a reflection of what's happening in the market here. You're probably aware, as your listeners would be, that the Perth market has been quite challenging for a number of years. And I think we thought at the beginning of the year that we were turning the corner, but it doesn't seem to have happened. So the market's still actually quite challenging here. In fact, realestate.com's property outlook report this week came out stating that Perth prices were down across the metropolitan area by 5% on last October still. And the apartment market, we've had a lot of apartment development over the last probably 10 years here, that market's faring even more poorly with the median price down by 8.4%. Still very challenging. There's lots of opportunity and there's still plenty of transactions happening, but it's very much about going out there and making it happen rather than it just falling in your lap.
So being from Perth, you understand the pressure of a falling market. What advice would you give to others who are experiencing the falling market for the first time in how to deal with vendors and buyers?
Yeah, that's a really good question because the reality is that the market is the market. We've all heard that, but it's what you do as an agent, I think, that really has to change. There are a lot of unmet expectations in a falling market, and I know that my friends in Sydney and Melbourne are certainly experiencing that, and they haven't dealt with it before. And what it does mean is a lot more conversations and more face-to-face meetings. You really need to do your research and still give your sellers hope because you don't want to lose listings based on being too realistic. But it's about getting face-to-face and really understanding both the seller's motivation and the buyer's motivation and really tuning into that to tap into that when you're deal making. And I think it is a lot more about deal making, about writing up all offers and getting in front of your sellers, not telling them that they should accept the offer, but giving them choices and exploring why they should consider this and what the future might look like if they do or don't accept the offer, and getting a real sense of what the buyer is going to be willing to pay beyond what that first offer is. I think it's really a question of, it's not where you start, but it's where you finish. But you've really got to tap into their motivation to understand. And it doesn't matter what the last sale was. The neighbor's property might have sold for $100,000 more than where you're at, but that's last year or even 6 months ago, and nobody really cares. It's really about what the market is looking to pay for a property at this time and whether now is the right opportunity for your sellers to sell.
That's really interesting advice. So put away the email and even the telephone to a degree as the primary means of communication and continually get in front of people.
Yeah. Definitely getting in front of buyers as well, doing private inspections. We're doing a lot more private inspections now, getting in front of the buyers and encouraging them to put something on paper for the sellers to consider. And then frequency of communication with your sellers so that they know that you're on the job, you haven't forgotten about them. And then meeting with them, no email offers, no offers over the phone, very much. I'm only going to need 5 minutes of your time, but if I could just pop around, do a lot of pop arounds. so that you can get face to face with them, because you don't want to have had a great offer and then the seller say, well, yeah, I don't even know if that offer was really in writing or if it was for real, because they're choosing to block it out. You want to be able to have sat with them and gone through what the pros and cons of the offer are and whether they should be going ahead with it. Well, whether you'd recommend they go ahead with it. At the end of the day, it's always their decision. The other thing I might add to that is that in a challenging market, all agents are going to feel challenged. And I think one of the really important things is we all know that sellers buy your energy. And I think it can get quite challenging psychologically when day after day you're just not making progress, or you're not making the number of sales that you're accustomed to, or your sellers aren't as happy as they used to be. It's really important to do the self-care and have your morning routine and get your mindset right and be physically fit and bring the right energy to your activities so that people feel that sense of hope that they've got the best agent on the job for them.
Actually, that's interesting, because that was the next question I was going to ask you, is if, you know, every day you're running to appointments and you're having the tough conversations, how do you deal with it when you might be having an off day or you might be feeling a bit tired? How do you then pick yourself back up again? Talk me through that self-care routine of yours.
Yeah, I think that's such an important question. And I think it's a bit like when your sales are struggling, you go back to the basics of doing all the calls, all the follow-up, doing all the basics. And I think it's the same, and I'm doing that right now. We've come out of a very long and wet winter in Perth by Perth standards. And I just decided you've got to get back on track doing all the things that you do to get yourself in peak performance mindset. And so that includes for me waking up early, so somewhere between 5 and 5:30, doing a meditation, then doing exercise, affirmations, visualization, reading something or a podcast or a video clip, and then writing down what my goals are and what I'm hoping to achieve for the day. And what I feel when I've done that those days, and I'm really trying to do it every day, is so much different to when you're not. And I think the other important thing there is sleep and reducing caffeine and alcohol, those things, just pulling all back on those things that you can use as a crutch and just getting clean and fit and healthy again so that you can get started and a good night's sleep.
Well, that's the funny thing, that it's a bit counterintuitive that when things are sort of a bit rough, that's when you sort of feel like you might need that extra coffee or a glass of wine after work, and that may be exacerbating the problem.
That's it. And I know I've taken the whole month of having no coffee, no alcohol, in bed by 10, all of my morning routine done by 7:30, no social media before 7 a.m., no social media after 10 p.m. because you want to be in peak performance, you've got to be fit, you've got to train like an athlete does.
So in the market that you're in, what are some of the property marketing strategies that you use to set yourself apart from the competition? Because I know you run pretty amazing open homes and things like that. What are some of the things that you do to make your vendors and buyers feel special?
So one of the things I think I've talked about before is we set up a WhatsApp group, and that's about keeping communication frequent so that everybody knows what's happening, just on the basics. But just in terms of little things, at the end of the first time open that I do, I always leave a thank you note thanking the owners for the way that they've presented the property and letting them know that I'm privileged. I feel privileged and it's such a pleasure to represent them, with a copy of the brochure. And I think that's a really nice touch. It's something that the sellers really appreciate, because you know they've put so much effort into presenting the home for sale and they're wondering when they come back, like it's a little bit deflating. So I always leave that thank you note, and I often leave, sometimes after the first home open, a block of Lindt chocolate with a ribbon and business card on it. Again, it's one of those things we do. We drop a candle before the first home open so that they can have something. And frequently, including this week, I've just had thank you texts for thank you for thinking of me. It's really thoughtful. I also, for referrals, people who refer business to me, whether I win or don't win the listing, I usually send them for a massage if it's someone who I think would like a massage or a facial. So things that make them know that I really appreciate the opportunity to help them and their friends I send a lot of my sellers for massages as well, because I say to them, look, you've done all the prep of getting the property ready for sale. Please let me take on the stress now of getting the property sold for you, and I need you to just relax, and this might help you. And they're just absolutely over the moon when I do that.
What about working with other agents? Because sometimes in a tougher market, it might take one or two or more people to move opposite sides together. And if, say, if someone didn't want to work with you, how would you convince them that it's a good idea to get together on a deal?
Yeah, look, that's a really good question. And I think there's always that question of my real estate colleagues who work for other agencies, colleagues or competitors. And for me, cooperation is always paramount from the perspective that I always want, regardless of whose listing it is, for the seller to get the best result they can in the shortest period of time. So any agent out there who knows me knows that I will conjunct with anyone. And we're very lucky in Cape Horn Young. We've got the three offices and our team of agents work exceptionally well in conjuncting with one another. And we do it all the time. We might even sell around 20% of our properties through internal conjunctionals, where whoever's got the best relationship with the buyer is most likely to be able to get the best price out of the buyer. And we recognize that. And it's never about the fee for me. It's always about getting the best result for the seller and the best opportunity for the buyer. So frequently I won't conjunct or won't recommend conjuncting with another seller if I think there's going to be a lot of competition for that property, and if I think I'm going to be a disadvantage to my buyer, I will help them secure the property, but I'm not going to ask for anything. I'll call the agent and tell them, look, I've got a fantastic buyer for you. I just want to introduce you to them. This is their situation. I do think that they're the buyer for your property, and I'm happy to do whatever it takes to help you, but I'm not conjuncting. It's really about helping you and your seller get the best result.
So for you, it's always about putting the client's interest first, more so than your own.
Absolutely. You always get a better outcome that way. Yeah, definitely. Always about putting the client first and looking to help them achieve their goals.
So at any given point in time, I know you've got a lot on your plate, whether it's just your day job or you run a high performance team as well. Everyone's asking for your time everywhere. How do you stop yourself from getting overwhelmed, and how do you keep yourself doing your highest and most productive things of a daytime?
Yep, that's a really good question, because time is our most valuable asset. I think a couple of things. One is about being a good delegator. And I think I'm a good delegator. I used to want to control everything. And I think a lot of agents, when they're growing, they're so accustomed to doing everything that they don't think anybody else can do it as well as them. What I've certainly learned is that there are plenty of people who can do a lot of what I do better than me or as well. And it's really about training them in what you want to have done and how you want them to do it, so that you're enabling them to perform. From that perspective, every day I write down, so I start at the beginning of the day with writing down what my top three priorities are and what a great day is going to look like for me. And then we have a team whip, probably 4 out of the 5 days, not normally on a Friday. And then we identify what are the highest priority activities for each of the people in the team. And I think that goes a long way to helping. And then during the day, when you do get overwhelmed, it's about going back to, okay, what do I absolutely need to get done today, and what can wait till tomorrow? Or what do I need to do today? And the things that I've set for myself to do that I'm going to run out of time for, who can I delegate those to? And how quickly can I delegate them to them so that I know they're being done? And I think for leaders, even when you're just running a team, it is really about giving the people who work for you and with you the right information for them to be able to perform that role, so that they don't feel frustrated and you don't feel like, oh, I should have just done it myself. Marcus Ciminello, I had a chat with him one time when I was in Melbourne and we were talking about it, and he was very clear on saying, I take the time to sit down and go through exactly what my expectations are And once we've done that, I don't expect to have to do it again. And I thought that was really valuable, because if you put in the time up front, it's like planning for a listing appointment. If you do all your research and go in fully organized, then it's much easier to succeed. Whereas if you're doing it all on the run, then your expectations can be out of alignment with the performance of the people working with you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's when you want the job finished and to what standard you want the job finished. And if you can get clear on all of those things, then there's a much better chance there's going to be alignment at the end.
Exactly. And I think the other thing there is we haven't been as good at this more recently, and I'm going to reintroduce it, but it's closing that loop by giving me the update at the end of the day, what got done and what didn't get done. Because otherwise you leave wondering, did that get finished or not, if you haven't had an update.
I think it's interesting too what you said a bit earlier about looking at the priorities that you've set for yourself versus things that other people want you to do, because sometimes in the flurry of the day, someone else's urgent something could easily take over if you're not clear on why it is you're doing that and how that fits in with your own day.
That's right. I remember seeing Wendy from Buffett and Thompson saying that she walks places, and when people want to talk to her, she'll walk to the water cooler or walk to her car, so that there's a limited time that people can take up your time, so that you're doing something while listening to them actively, but also making it clear this isn't a half an hour or 45 minute conversation. I've got a couple of minutes to help you and I really want to help you. Let's get straight to it.
It sounds like the West Wing. You know how they always used to walk and talk in that show?
I love the West Wing, exactly.
Let's go back in time a little bit, because probably in, I think, year two of Elite Agent, you were on one of our covers. And I remember when we talked back then, and the headline of your story was the trusted advisor, because that was the one thing about you, was the ability to build trust and have trust with others, particularly your clients and the people that you work with. So what would you say is the key to trust in 2018 and building trust with the people around you?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And selling is about trust. It often has a lot to do with trust. I think one of the things that allowed me to build trust across my various careers was about doing the work that people didn't see and then being able to present. So in my previous careers, I was in an advisory role and I did a lot of research and then presented to people who were very busy and didn't have a lot of time to go through the research. They just wanted to know what the recommendations were and why. So I think in selling, it's about really knowing your marketplace, knowing the comparables, popping through other home opens and sales, so that you can be well informed in talking about their property. That's one component. The other is really about just doing the right thing, being a good person, going in, building rapport with them, looking around the property at things that might be important to them, and finding points of common ground and connection. And I think when you're working in a marketplace where you do connect with the type of people that you're working with, it's much easier to build trust because you've got a commonality. And then when you back that up with information when it comes to the property, so if you're very knowledgeable and seek to engage with them and make it much more about them than about you, then I think your ability to build trust is much higher. And if you do what you say you'll do, so I'll get back to you in the next 48 hours, if you do get back to them in the 48 hours, all of those little things can make a big difference. And I think they can make a difference when we don't even realize that they're making a difference.
Yeah, just the little things, you know, just do what you said you were going to do, the way you said you were going to do it, basically when you said you were going to do it. Yeah, we used to call that under-promising and over-delivering.
Tell them you're going to get back to them in 48 hours, get back to them in 36, and then they're surprised. Creating little moments of wow will build trust.
Is there anything that you wish, looking back in your career, when you started in real estate, is there anything you wish you'd done differently or anything you would do differently now?
Probably the thing that's been the hardest for me is engaging admin support. I've had quite a few admin people, and I think that's in part the nature of the industry, but I think it's also just not hiring the right people for the role, particularly in the early stages when my business was growing really quickly, thinking I wanted part-time, thinking it was okay to bring on people who didn't have experience because they were good people. All of that is great, and good people are incredibly important. But if you're going to be a high performer, you need people who are going to have the same focus and discipline in their role as you bring to yours to be able to support you at that really high level. So that's probably been the biggest challenge. And I think it's about getting more support from more experienced people about who to hire, really, and what attributes you're looking for. You don't actually, as an agent, want somebody else who's going to be an agent just like you doing the admin. You want somebody who specializes in admin and is very happy in that kind of role. I think the other thing with remuneration around admin people is they're not like salespeople. They're not accustomed to commission. They don't want to necessarily be paid bonuses for selling properties. Some of them, and it's about tapping into what they want as opposed to how you want to pay them, understanding their needs. But they might, like, the security of the regular income is really important to them. So about understanding, do they want to be incentivized to get more the more we sell, or do they want a salary that's going to be completely steady?
So what's next for you, Stephanie? What does 2019 hold?
That's a good question. Well, hopefully a lot of sales and helping a lot of people. I think my goal is really just about, I've got a lot more clarity on which segments of the market I want to work in and in what areas, and just really staying focused on the kind of people that I want to work with and for. So that's probably my priority, and just building my team to be better at what we do, not necessarily growth for growth's sake. I think in the changing markets, you'll see higher performing agents will naturally take a larger segment of the market, and just being super organized and diligent in our processes to be able to support selling the properties that we're really interested in and helping the kind of people who value what we do.
Absolutely. And I guess just to round things off, what are your tips for success, both leading into Christmas and for 2019 for other agents?
So look, the market is definitely picked up. We've got a straight run with another 10 or so weeks till Christmas, and we're going to be working really hard during that period. And I think I'll probably have one mini break, probably two nights away, just to reset so that we've got the energy to keep that energy up during that whole period. But the other thing to remember, and it's really what I see happening with the top performing agents in our company, is that it's the people who do the work who have the power. And so agents who 12 months ago in our company didn't have the confidence and weren't performing at the level they are now, it's the work that you do now that's really going to set you up, not just to sell the stock that you have or list new stock before Christmas, but really set you up for a fantastic 2019, and really building those relationships, updating people on what's happening in the market, even when it's not great news, but telling them that there are still sales happening and there's a property coming up on the market on their street, and inviting them to the home opens, building rapport with your clients so that over the long run, you become the natural person that they go to when they need real estate advice. And so I don't think that I'll be doing anything differently, but I'm just going to be doing it with greater intensity between now and Christmas, because I know that's going to set us up for not just some great results before Christmas, but also some fantastic opportunities in 2019.
Wonderful. Well, I wish you all the best for 2019, and thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
It's my absolute pleasure. I do hope that your listeners get some value out of what I've had to say, but also just to let them know that I'm always happy to have a chat. My absolute goal is about helping others succeed and meet their goals, so they're always welcome to give me a call.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.